91X News.
It's 6 degrees and light rain and fog at noon. From the QNET newsroom, good afternoon. I'm Sabrina MacDonald. Turkey says initial tests of samples from victims of a suspected chemical attack in northern Syria indicate they were exposed to a sarin gas, a highly toxic nerve agent. The Turkish Health Ministry said Thursday that, according to the results of the first analysis, there were findings suggesting that patients were exposed to chemical substance sarin without elaborating. The attack on Tuesday killed more than 80 people and sickened dozens more, many of whom are being treated across the border in Turkey. The Trump administration and others have said the attack on the opposition-held town of Khan Saykun was carried out by government forces, allegations denied by Damascus. The Turkish Health Ministry said the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons would also test the samples. On Monday morning, the Coburg Police and the Cornerstone Organization held a media event promoting the new joint program that is intended to assist with sexual assault and spouse abuse cases in Coburg. Coburg Police Chief Kai Liu has high hopes for the program.
This program also allows the police service to hire expertise through a partnership with Cornerstone, in that if we were to go out and hire our own individual, we certainly couldn't afford it. And by tapping into the expertise of Cornerstone, we get the many, many years of expertise that they have firsthand working with victims.
The Napanee OPP and the Ontario Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals are investigating after a dead cat was discovered in the Parrots Bay Conservation Area earlier this week. The cat was found by a local resident who reported it to the OPP. According to a news release from the OPP, the dead cat was found under suspicious circumstances and the incident is under investigation. The conservation area where the cat was found is part of the larger Cataraqui Conservation Authority. It's a popular place for hikers, bikers, and dog walkers, according to the police. The Napanee OPP would like to hear from anyone with information about this incident. Royal Bank's top executive says he's increasingly concerned about the Toronto and Vancouver housing markets and would welcome government interventions. RBC Chief Executive Dave McKay says the rapid increase in housing prices in the two cities is the product of an unhealthy combination of factors. He listed an imbalance in supplies and demand for residential properties, low interest rates, and speculative activity. McKay says a single solution to these problems is unlikely to be successful. Instead, McKay says there needs to be multiple solutions to address such a complex problem, and he would like to welcome interventions from federal, provincial, and local governments. McKay made his comments in Toronto during Royal Bank's annual shareholder meeting. Prosecutors are making their opening arguments in the trial of four men accused in a fatal daylight shooting at a Toronto cafe. Rabi Al-Khalil, Dean Wuchar, Nicola Nero, and Martino Caputo are each charged with first-degree murder in the death of John Raposo. All have pleaded not guilty. Raposo was fatally shot on the patio of the Sicilian Sidewalk Cafe on June 18th of 2012 as soccer fans gathered to watch a Euro Cup game. The brazen daytime attack was one of several fatal public shootings that summer. It came weeks after a shooting in the food court of the Eaton Centre shopping mall that claimed the lives of two people and injured several others. The RCMP says they've charged a man for allegedly leaving Canada to join Islamic State militants. The Mounties said they began investigating in January 2016 after hearing allegations that Pamir Hakimzadeh had traveled to Turkey during the fall of 2014 to join the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. They say Hakimzadeh was returned to Canada after being detained by Turkish authorities. The RCMP says Hakimzadeh was charged Wednesday afternoon with leaving Canada to participate in the activity of a terrorist group. The force says Hakimzadeh is in custody in Toronto and is expected to appear in court on Thursday. It says his arrest was part of an extensive national security criminal investigation named Project Sachet. The RCMP says there was never any risk to the public safety at the time during the investigation. The Ontario government is spending $700,000 to help found a nonprofit that will help it better digital services. Code for Canada, officially launched today, is part of an international network of nonprofits including Code for America and Code for Australia. Some of the $700,000 is funding will go towards paying digital experts to work with the Ontario government to design easier-to-use digital government services. The idea is to make government online services as good as popular banking apps and shopping websites. Tech companies Shopify and Normative are also backing Code for Canada. The nonprofit will also support Canadian civic tech groups, which are groups of people who get together to build technology projects that will better their communities. Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne says her government is acting not only on house affordability, but also on rental affordability. Rent control guidelines in Ontario only apply to units built before November 1991, and tenants in some newer units have told the media outlets about skyrocketing rents, which in some cases are doubling. Wynne says that's not acceptable.
I know that housing affordability, whether it's rental affordability or home ownership, is a huge issue. But I have to say that those particular examples this morning were particularly egregious.
Ontario's first cap and trade auction has sold out to all current allowances. The system aimed at lowering greenhouse gas emissions requires companies and certain industries to buy an equal number of credits to their emissions. Environment Minister Glenn Murray says the quarterly auctions won't always completely sell out, and that's to be expected.
The participation rate, whether it's 100% or 20% or 50% or 60% or 13%, is not the success of a market. The success of the market is really based on our ability to reduce GHGs.
The government hopes the quarterly auctions will bring in $1.9 billion a year to be invested in programs that reduce emissions and help businesses and consumers adapt a low-carbon economy. German police say an Austrian teenager who contacted authorities after an online chat with a German youth may have helped prevent an attack on the German schoolmates or teachers. They say the teen notified Austrian police after the German told him he was planning a school attack. Austrian police then shared the information with their German counterparts, who traced the suspect to a central town of Oslar and then raided his home. Austrian state broadcaster ORF said Thursday that German police found several knives, a bow, a list of names, and a farewell letter apparently written by the suspect. A German police statement says the unnamed 16-year-old reportedly told police during questioning Wednesday that he was being mobbed at the school. Police in Virginia say a 12-year-old girl was left with a graze wound to her face after a shooting. Newport News Police said in a statement that officers responding to a report of a shooting on Thursday morning were told that the girl was in an upstairs apartment when she was hit. She was taken to a hospital with an injury that isn't thought to be life-threatening. Police say they are investigating and will release more information as it becomes available. That's QNET News on 91X to 1208. Sports is next. QNET Sports. I'm Sabrina MacDonald, and the Toronto Maple Leafs and Ottawa Senators can clinch playoffs in NHL action tonight. The Senators just need a position in their game at Boston to book their postseason spot. The Leafs guarantee themselves of a spot with a win over visiting Tampa Bay. Also tonight, Winnipeg is at Columbus, Vancouver, and visits Arizona. Calgary is in Los Angeles, and Edmonton visits San Jose. Toronto plays Tampa Bay at the Air Canada Centre tonight. The Blue Jays open a 4-point game set today in Tampa Bay against the Rays. Righty Marcus Stroman is expected to pitch for Toronto. He's coming off a solid performance at the World Baseball Classic, where he earned MVP for the United States. Last night, the Jays fell 3-1 to the Orioles to open the season 0-2. If the Cleveland Cavaliers went into Boston on Wednesday to prove a point, then mission accomplished. The Cavs are back atop the Eastern Conference standings after LeBron James delivered 36 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists in a 114-91 thrashing of the Celtics. Kyrie Irving had 19 points and 5 assists for the Cavaliers, who led by as many as 29 in the third quarter despite playing without insurance center Tristan Thompson because of a sprained right thumb. Thompson's absence didn't stop the Cavs from out-rebounding the Celtics 51-38. Cleveland took control by opening the second quarter on a 22-4 run. The Cavaliers outscored Boston 71-46 over the second and third periods. Isaiah Thomas had 26 points for the Celtics, who trailed the Cavs by one game with four remaining. Cleveland owns the tiebreaker as well. A lawyer for ex-NFL star Aaron Hernandez has told jurors that the prosecution's star witness is a perjurer and a liar who is the real killer of two men Hernandez is accused of gunning down over a spilled drink. During closing arguments on Thursday, attorney Jose Baez told jurors that prosecutors made a deal with the devil when they agreed to give immunity to Hernandez's former friend Alexander Bradley. Baez said Bradley got the deal of a lifetime for claiming that Hernandez shot two men after one of them accidentally bumped into Hernandez at the Boston nightclub and spilled his drink. Prosecutors have said Hernandez was enraged over the encounter at the club because he felt disrespected. They are scheduled to give their closing argument after the defense concludes its closing. Hernandez is already serving life in prison for the 2013 killing of semi-professional football player Odin Lloyd. Send us your team or league scores. Email qnetnewsdesk@gmail.com. The forecast for Belleville is cloudy. Rain is beginning early this morning, amount to 20 to 30 millimeters. Wind is northeast, 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50, and a high of 7. Tonight, rain will be changing to snow after midnight. Rainfall amount is expected to be 5 millimeters and a snowfall amount of 2 centimeters. Wind northeast, 30 kilometers per hour, and gusting to 50, becoming northwest, 30 gusting to 50 overnight. Low plus 1. At 12:11, it's 6 degrees. QNET News on the air and on 91X, online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Sabrina MacDonald. News on 91X is next at 1.